All right, here we are once again. I am Tanner, here with Jared, back
Jared.
At it for the Brew Chat Podcast, episode 129. We've got Jackie Helbert and Findle Fulton with us. We've had them on here before.
That's right.
Yeah.
They decided to come back.
Yeah, they've come back, and we're going to be talking about religion, all kinds of... Jackie's got a real interesting past with, you know, what the religion she was brought up in. She was a God warrior for a while. And we're here to talk this week about just... I don't know. Religion can be misinterpreted and used in a lot of really shitty ways against people. So we're here to sort of talk about that.
Yeah, it's bad stuff.
Yeah.
But religion in general can be good stuff, but there's sometimes bad people
you
know, taking advantage of it and shit like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have them. We hear some great stories from Jackie. We have some good beers on here. They brought us a gift of beer. They brought some good schist from Hutton and Smith.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be drinking some Clown Shoes Space Cake, some Little Harpeth Chicken Scratch, and the Turtle Anarchy Another Way to Rye IPA. They're all pretty
yeah, they were all pretty good tonight. Yeah, I could say that. But yeah, before we get into that, I want to remind you guys, get down to Riverside Wine and Spirits, Chattanooga's number one choice for fine wines, craft beers, and boutique liquors. And they've got a great wine tasting on Saturday, and they've got a great beer tasting on Friday afternoon. So get down there, check that out, Riverside Wine and Spirits on Manufacturers Road, and make sure to get your Brew Chat six-pack. Before every episode of the Brew Chat Podcast, we post on Instagram what beers we're drinking for that episode. You can go down there, get your Brew Chat six-pack, and drink along with us on the episode. And then we've also got Brew Skies, which is coming up on April 16th down at the Chattanooga Choo Choo for 5 to 9. 4 to 9 if you get that VIP early entrance fee, which is kind of worth it. It's just $10 more, I think.
Yeah, why not?
$10 more, yeah. And then Big River, they're going to be debuting their Fire Chief Red on March 8th, which is the Thursday that this episode will be coming out. So if you're listening to this on the Thursday that it debuted and you don't have anything to do tonight, get down to Big River. Nick Lutzko is going to be there from 5:30 to 7:30. And every beer, or I guess, I don't know if it's every beer or just the Fire Chief Red, but 25 cents from that is going to go to the Forgotten Child Fund. And that's this Thursday, March 8th.
That's a lot of good stuff to talk about.
That's a lot of good stuff. I want to remind you guys before we get into episode two, go subscribe to us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all Brew Chat with two T's. Check us out at brewchat2t's.com. That's just brewchat.com. You don't have to type the two T's. But yeah, go subscribe to us. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. But if you're listening to this, you probably already have. So I'm going to quit babbling. Let's do this. Let's get into it. Episode 129 of the Brew Chat Podcast. Woo! Good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have that the last time you guys were here, I don't think.
Uh-uh. Yeah. Yeah. We've been, we made some upgrades. We got a new board. We got the iPad hooked up to it and whatnot. Yeah.
How long did it take you to get that hooked up?
It honestly wasn't that bad because the only real difference it is between the other board is it's just bigger, but it's only got like two extra inputs and I'm only using five.
You should ask Jackie how long it took us to get our much smaller board hooked up.
I'm not a sound engineer.
Years.
I just like to tinker. Yeah, I mean, YouTube's great for that. Yeah. I just used to tinker a lot and take VCRs apart and all that stuff. So.
I mean, I used to do sound stuff all the time, but that was like a lifetime ago. So it took forever, and like I bought like $70 worth of cables I didn't need and kept going back and forth.
Oh,
and,
damn. Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know, square peg, round hole. It always amazes me, or it always amazed me when I was a kid, like my grandparents or whoever would ask me to plug up their computer. Like it was this huge daunting thing. The computer would not get working unless I came over to do it. And you can't plug something in that's not meant to be, like, you can't accidentally plug in the keyboard into the display port. Yeah. So
I don't hear any sound in my headphones.
You don't?
No.
Are those the ones that are the rough ones?
I mean, not that I have to. I didn't know if it was affecting.
Whoa.
No, you're fine. Whoa. It's just, I need to get all new headphones here. That's the next upgrade. Let's see.
Whoa. Whoa.
Did that do anything?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now okay. It's whoa. Yeah.
Did it go away?
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine is also good.
Okay. Okay. Don't touch
Nobody
it.
Nobody move or breathe or touch anything.
All right.
Hands off the table.
Yeah, we'll all get right. Some new ones to these.
We're good to go. Let's open a beer.
Yes.
Okay. So do you want to start with the ones that you guys brought, or do you want to... No, you don't want to start with them?
We just brought that as like a palate cleanser.
Okay.
For the IPA.
Some sipping beers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good idea, because there are a couple... That's a double IPA.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have a rye IPA, and we have an American Pilsner, which is a little bit lighter. Mm. But yeah, and then you guys brought this good schist from Hutton and Smith. Mm-hmm. Which is great, with abundant late additions and dry hopping with Huel melon. Is that what that is? Huel? Highlight our American pale ale. Tropical and juicy with a firm malt backbone. This schist is definitely good.
If you're a geologist or into geology, then you know what schist is.
You totally sound like the lady, the NPR ladies on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, scoot your mic a little closer. Yeah.
You're like so calm and deliberate.
If you're like, totally into geology, you really know what schist is and why it's good for schist to be good.
Yeah. So you have to be breathy.
For our non-geology savvy listeners, what
is schist?
What is okay. Schist and what's so good about it?
So it's been a while, but schist is one of the stages of rock that it goes through, and it gets compressed by heat and pressure in the earth. And it's, I don't know if it's a metamorphic rock. I think it's pre-metamorphic before all the minerals start to separate out and you get the really cool rocks like gneiss, where you've got like the black and the white minerals mm-hmm. all together, kind of like Dalmatian of rocks. So yeah.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sure.
Were you a geology person?
I took one geology class. Mm. I thought it was really cool.
I did. My teacher was a complete dick.
Oh,
and I hated
so
it. I did too. Yeah. Bad. I got a D in that class.
I got a D
yeah.
The only
D I ever got. Yeah. And the thing is, I went into it with your attitude of like, oh, rocks are cool. I had a rock. I've got a rock collection over there.
Yeah.
And rocks are cool. Uh-huh. And he was just a dick.
Wow. That sucks.
So mean.
He ruined it for
he
you.
He was so mean.
We got to do a tour of Chattanooga, like a geology tour of all the buildings in underground mm-hmm. Chattanooga and what they're all made out of and stuff.
That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that is cool.
Mm-hmm. With Hutton and Smith or?
No, with my geology teacher.
Oh,
yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just went to a cemetery.
Ooh. Jeez. I mean, huh?
Yeah, we went to a cemetery and took rock samples from the grave sites.
Just
those
chipped
limestones.
Little bits off. People's
yeah,
gravestones.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did.
Well, that
and,
is
well and it was a Civil War cemetery. It wasn't a new one. It was a Civil War cemetery. Well, that may make it worse. I don't know.
That's scary.
It could have been a bunch of Confederates. I don't know. So, I don't know.
And now you're haunted.
Yeah, bad juju. Oh,
well. Yeah, maybe. Super bad juju.
See,
but this good schist is pretty good schist.
Yeah.
It's hazy, straw-colored, kind of golden-ish. Light orange, like tangerine colored maybe. And smells kind of funky.
Which I guess is good if you're referring to beers.
Yeah. No, that's some good schist.
We've been telling the story for a little bit. But like, yeah, that is good. Like we had a beer maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. It literally smelled like horse shit.
Oh.
In like the hay area in front of a barn, but in such a good way. It was so good.
Okay, I love that smell though.
Yeah.
I love barns.
Well, it's
yeah,
like.
See, my mom likes that smell too.
Mm-hmm.
Horse shit doesn't really smell like shit because it's like grassy
it's grass.
And yeah.
Just in a different form. Thank you. I remember y'all had a beer when Jackie was on last that you said smelled like spoiled breast milk.
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was good.
And it did.
We've had a couple. Yeah, we've had one like that before, like, or after that, I mean. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, we've had a couple of those.
That's good.
Actually, I need that. Mm-hmm. So this is the
I love that artwork.
Space Cake Double IPA from Clown Shoes Beer.
That's delicious.
Our mission, to produce beer without pretension while being free and a little crazy.
I like the bottle. It's can.
Cute. Yeah, it's really cute.
It's from Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah, it's a cool can. It's got like a superhero guy with an M on his chest.
This one kind of has that cat pee smell to it, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. Whoa. Hmm.
Oh, man.
It kind of looks like Jim Halpert on the can.
I was thinking it looks like Danny. What's that fellow's name from here?
Oh,
from The
Reyes?
Office, Jim Halpert?
No, oh, yeah, Jim Halpert, yeah. But I think it's Danny Reyes, is that how you say his last name? It kind of looks like him without sideburns.
Yeah, all I'm getting from this is cat piss.
Yeah, this guy's crazy.
Oh, you can't just pee. No, I'm joking.
He's flying through space. There's some sort of exploding, like, space station thing behind him, and there's lasers and shit all over the place, and he's got a dog that has a space helmet on, too. Like,
oh,
this whole thing's fucking
dog.
Crazy.
Huh.
He must be somebody.
Oh, there.
Like, they must have
maybe
said, we're going to put so-and-so on the can.
Space Cake. He's got an M on his chest.
What's like on Tennessee Brew Works cans, they all have a dude's face on them. Or like sometimes it's ladies, but I think those are all real people.
Oh wow!
I'm pretty sure. Like they've got one that's a forest ranger guy, and that's a real guy. He's really a forest ranger. Yeah, and he comes in the brewery and signs autographs.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I wonder what he did to get on the can.
I think be a fucking forest ranger.
Yeah. I mean, they are
sometimes
badass.
That's all it takes. Our mission, to produce beer without pretension when being free and a little crazy.
I wonder what that means, though. Like, are they doing crazy things when they make the beer?
While being free, yeah. They're trying to produce beer without pretension while being free and a little crazy.
It makes your jaw muscles clench up a bit. It doesn't have the cat piss taste, but it smells like cat piss.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Wait, what just happened?
It jumped out of the can and missed the glass. It like shot.
Well, it's wild and crazy.
It is.
I've never seen that happen before.
And a little crazy. I've never seen that happen before either.
I got nothing. Sorry.
Little spilled beer. Never
is that a ferret that's staring at me?
Dinosaurs.
Yes, on my shirt. Cool. But yeah, that's Billy. It's a family heirloom.
That is amazing.
Yeah. My uncle ran him over in the late 70s, early 80s. And then my granddad saw fit to get him taxidermied for whatever weird reason.
That is amazing.
How did he run over a ferret, though?
It's actually a mink.
Oh, it's a mink.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the old mink stalls.
Wow. That's cool.
But yeah, I don't know where he ran it over. I'm still in search of this story.
Yeah.
It's slowly been unfolding. Because I only recently... This thing's older than I am.
It's aged well.
And I've told the story on here before, so I'll nutshell it. But yeah, I've basically just been asking my grandma about it forever. And I finally got it this past year, this past Christmas.
Why'd it take so long?
I don't know.
Was she just like, no, I don't want to talk about it?
No, it's mine.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of just like, it's mine.
Oh, she was... In possession.
She kind of hoards things, and
it
was just in a cabinet forever. And
with a bunch of other dead animals.
No, I think that's the only dead animal. I hope that's the only dead animal. Unless you had a jackalope. Cool. I really, really want a taxidermy jackalope.
Yeah.
Like, really bad.
Yeah.
Really
I've
bad.
I've got a little one, but I need a big one.
Yeah, I want, like, I mean, a big jackalope. Mm-hmm. Like, a big one.
That'd be super cool.
A power jackalope.
Power jackalope.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think of this beer? Not that one. This one.
I like it.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It's this one.
I told you we were having double IPAs, and I thought we had, like, all double IPAs, but we've got just a mix here.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those that makes me thirsty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just like, space cake, where did that come from? Like, it seems like
I don't know.
A weird, like, they don't want to be pretentious, but they threw so many ideas at this, it doesn't make any sense. But the beer's pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounded great.
I'm confused. I'm trying to figure out where this other one came from.
Oh, I poured a little bit of that, but the glass was dirty, so I stopped pouring
right.
it.
That's right. Just take that.
You get the note. Yeah, I was trying to save you there.
Thank you.
You just wouldn't have it.
I wasn't going to let the fallen soldier just go by the wayside.
No. I mean, just don't drink out of that side of the glass.
Yeah, that's
fine. I mean, whatever grime is on the side of the glass is clean. It's been through the dishwasher. It's just I ran out of jet dry, I realized.
Sanitized grime.
Yeah, it's sanitized grime. Yeah, that's why the glasses are kind of foggy, is I ran out of jet dry.
So. Streaking.
First world problems.
Yeah.
My sister threw her iPhone, just tossed her iPhone onto her bed. It landed on her iPad and broke both of them.
Oh, no.
First world problem.
Oh, my God.
First world problems are still problems, though.
True, very true.
We happen to live in the first world, and that happens to be a problem that we have to deal with.
Although that could change.
Some people have to deal with.
I don't know. Do we live in... I don't know if we... Sometimes I wonder if we actually do live in a first world.
Right.
I really
do. In theory.
Because I like... It pisses people off, but I like to say this. We live in a third world country with iPhones.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. That pisses the hell out of people.
Yeah.
They hate that. Huh. Yeah. Like, it's kind of true. I mean, we do. Hobos have iPhones.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what deals they're making, but they've got them. Like, pay as you go, I guess.
Yeah, but, a lot of, I work for Sprint and stuff. They have programs, like government programs, to pay for people's phones like that. But, it's funny.
Yeah.
The hobo plan.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, I can't get your emojis because I only have Android.
Wait, is that what happens? Because occasionally, and it's like an X in a box. Or,
yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's what's happening. Yeah. It's like, no, these emojis aren't for you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They're using special ones that we can't see.
We just solved a huge mystery in my life right now. I've been wondering for months what that meant. And I would try to explain it to people. I'm like, what's that X in the box? What are you talking about? I sent you emojis.
Software. But,
okay, I see that. What's the X in the box? Does that mean something? Is that an emoji? And I don't know what the X in the box means. Yeah, like, is that, or like, here's treasure.
See, I started finding the symbol that's the X in the box, and I would just send that back. So that way they get an X in the box.
That's really good.
That's funny.
I just don't use emojis.
Yeah,
I'm not skilled in the emoji game.
Memes are the way to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Memes. Jackie has that unlocked.
I'm not a memer.
Yeah, I'm not a memer either.
My sister gets mad. She's like, "All you can do is talk of memes." So I respond with like a bunch of memes. Like,
but they're so appropriate, and they just—it's a whole conversation that makes so much sense.
You can be so snarky with memes.
It's true. It's but you can also use words.
Yeah.
But sometimes that just like, is dumb.
You know. Man throwing woman to the jaws of a shark. It's not as like exciting as seeing a man throwing a woman to the jaws of a shark. I don't know. I used that one yesterday and it was very effective.
Really? Why? What conversation?
What was the context?
Yeah, that you were having like a man throws a woman in a shark's mouth. Like,
oh, I was talking about this podcast. It was god awful. And my sister's like, yeah, it's like, you know, jumping the shark, you know, like Fonzie jumping.
Yeah,
the
yeah okay.
So then
okay.
I put the man, she's like, maybe it'll get better. So then I put the man, like, throwing the woman to the mouths of the shark. I'm like, it's not going to get better.
Yeah. It's like hashtags, but better.
But so don't you have to go and search down the picture that you want to use? Like, where
your
did you just have
really
this?
Easy.
Like,
it's really easy now. It used to be super hard. But like,
so you just like type in shark
it has
and
a gift
it comes
section.
Up with,
comes
some
up
of
with
them.
Hundreds of them and you just pick the coolest one.
Yeah, it has a gift section. You type. It took me forever to
figure
I'll
use
it out.
GIFs.
It took me forever to figure out.
Yeah, well, that's basically what we're saying. Same thing.
Okay, I'll use GIFs. I used one today as somebody, a lady friend, was asking if I wanted to go pick fruit. I just think that's the dumbest thing.
Wrong answer.
Well, it's like, I can go to the farmer's market and it's already picked and it's on a table.
That wasn't
and
the
I just,
point.
I still, I just think it's a stupid thing. And
And well, now Summer we know said how you really
used,
feel.
I used Hopper from Stranger Things when he's got that like that like skinny eye, like really. I just
That's really funny.
Picking fruit is
what kind of fruit?
Just any kind, really. No, apples, strawberries. I grew up working on a farm.
Oh, so it's not
like on my granddad's farm, and it's just like it was work, like picking potatoes and grapes romantic. Off the grapevine, and it wasn't like
it's not.
And I hate these city folk that take these nuanced. It's work. Like the farms are genius because they found a way to get free fucking labor.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, would you like to go to the quarries and break up some rocks with me?
I would say yes.
We get to like swing a sledgehammer and a pickaxe and shit. So yeah.
The quarry B&B.
The quarry.
You go there, you get up at the crack of dawn, go bust some rocks. Hell, do with everything. Fucking... Trump's fucked up coal, even though he promised him that he'd fix it.
Oh, my God.
Maybe they should start coal miner B&Bs.
Yeah, like agriturismo, but...
Oh, my God.
Whatever the Italian is for...
Yeah.
Coal mining tourism.
Yeah. Coal's going down the drain. That's how they revitalize it. They don't even pay the workers. You pay them mm-hmm. to go to their B&B.
The coal mining experience.
The coal mining experience.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I could do that. I could get on that.
Really?
I'm famous coal miners. Yeah, I know all about that life. It's glamorous.
It's glamorous.
I think one of my granddads was a coal miner for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All the men in my family were except for my dad. So.
Yeah. That was a rough life, though. I watched that. There was that movie where the kids build the rockets. And it's in Tennessee. Oh, yeah. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
Yeah, yeah, Rocket Boys.
And his dad's like, no, you quit fucking around with these rockets and getting the coal mines. But it was about rockets, but it gave a good look at coal mining back in the 50s. Yeah. And like, even in the 50s, like, whew, that was a rough life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it changed terribly much. It's not very much different from that now, especially with all the safety regulations being rolled back during this administration. Yeah.
So. So speaking of growing up, though, I asked you to come here because we started on a tangent last week, started talking about religion and just cults and murder and all that fun stuff. Yeah. And you've posted things on Facebook, Jackie, about having like crazy religious upbringing. And I did. It's nowhere near yours. It's just my parents asked me why I don't want to go to church with them. And it's like, look, like. All of my experiences are shitty with church, and it just eventually led me to like just a pretty non-religious life, which I'm pretty okay with. And so, yeah, like, I don't know. I'm just going to set you up there. Sure, just kind of pitch it to you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how in depth you want me to go.
Do whatever. Like, I think the purpose mainly is I hate how people use religion to like to hurt people, basically. Like, believe what you want to believe.
Yeah.
But people that use it to control, hurt, and just for bullshit, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty. Like, here, there's a lot of, like, religious people, and a lot of them are super nice. But, like, the kind of religion I came from is pretty harmful. So, yeah, I'm, like, 33, and I only came out, like, a couple years ago because growing up, you know, in such a horrible environment. But so basically, like, when we were young, our family was a little bit religious, but not terribly. But then, like, our dad was like super abusive. I have a big family, but our dad was like super abusive and stuff. And he like moved us and like we were homeschooled and stuff because he didn't want us to have like a secular education. But he wasn't actually religious. It's just like his own brand of crazy. So yeah, he wasn't like crazy religious or anything. Like we were kosher for a couple years.
You were?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Well, so I'm a triplet. There's six of us kids. And
I didn't know you were a triplet.
Yeah. I didn't either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be lots of pauses in here. Like, wait a minute. What?
Oh, that's okay.
Wait, you chose to be kosher.
Well, only his triplets were kosher.
That's right. Okay.
Like his dad was saying something. We were like 11. And our dad was saying something about the Bible or whatever. And we're like, oh, it says here that you're not supposed to eat pork or the cloven hoofed animals or blah blah blah, and so he's like, yeah, you shouldn't. So over a year, me and Jennifer and Jessica didn't eat pork, It was really annoying for my mom because she had to get like beef hot dogs and stuff. And so we like rubbed it in everyone's faces. You're not supposed to be eating that. You can't have that bacon, blah, blah, blah. And that didn't bring us nearly as much enjoyment as they were getting eating bacon.
Yeah.
So after like a year, we're finally like, wait, our dad's not kosher. He's the one that told us to be kosher. Yeah. He's over here enjoying his BLT. What's up with that? So we started eating, you know, pork again. Yeah.
Well, like, what was his mindset behind that? Like, he was going to tell you guys to be kosher and he's not going to do it?
I don't know. Yeah. He was, like, insane, so it's really nonsensical. Yeah.
That is not an exaggeration.
It makes no sense. So when I was a teenager, like, 15 or something, I became crazy mega religious. And it's because like our parents split up. It was like this very tumultuous time for our family, like really messed up. Like I literally wrote a book about it. And so religion was, you know, I went to this youth group. I'm like, these people are really cool. I want to be like those people. And so then I'm like, I'm going to be a Christian. If I'm going to do it, by God, I'm going to do it. So it was actually the day that I decided to do it was Y2K. It was...
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I went to this convention, the New Year's Eve, the night of Y2K, and at midnight, they turned the lights off. So there's like hundreds of teenagers doing this worship service. And at midnight, they cut all the lights and everything off.
Wait, to like fake that it really happened? Yeah. And be like, the computers have died.
Yeah.
Things since 1900.
Exactly. And people have been like worried. Their parents were worried about even letting them go. My mom had run a bathtub full of water in case we needed to drink it. And had canned foods and stuff like that. Anyway, so we get there and they turn all the lights off. And I knew it wasn't real because like I could see the speakers in the background, but I was like, but they're like, what if this, you know, was, you know, the end times, blah, 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 and like, would you be ready? And I'm like, no, okay, I guess this is, which actually I was like mega hyped up. I remember drinking like 6 cans of Melon Mountain Dew and eating 12 pack Reese cups. And I was like, so like cracked up.
I'm ready to worship Jesus.
I actually got so excited. I was singing this VeggieTales song. It's
oh
like,
my God. It's a very like, specific
was,
detail.
Well, because I was like being really loud. I was like, sorry, but it's like everybody's got a water buffalo. Yours is fast, mine's slow. Everybody's got a water buffalo. Anyways, there's one part where it's like, took my buffalo to the store, got its head stuck in the door. Well, when I said that part, I was like, walking down the hallway screaming with a bunch of teenagers this song out loud. And I'm like, oh, act it out. And so I took my hand and slammed it into a brick wall and about knocked myself out.
Oh my God.
That's how much caffeine and sugar. Sorry, that's a huge
Jeez.
But anyway, so once I decided I was saved, I was like going to be sinless the rest of my life, period. That's how it had to be. So I went home. I immediately started a Christian club in my school.
Wow.
You went hard.
Damn.
I was a founder and president. It's still on my resume. I was a Christian club in my school. And I was like total zealot. Like I wrote... dare you to ask me about Jesus on my backpack and like WWJD and all these things. Every outfit I wore was like a Christian knockoff, like Reese cups, but something about Jesus or Nine Inch Nails, but with Jesus. I didn't actually know what Nine Inch Nails sounded like until a couple of years ago. Oh, because I didn't listen to secular music.
Yeah, I was told Nine Inch Nails was devil music.
Yeah.
I thought Nine Inch Nails was already about Jesus.
That's good.
I mean, it is about getting closer to God.
Thank you for laughing. Yeah, thank you.
It took me a minute, but it was good. It was good.
That was great. So I was just like, you know, crazy fundamentalist. But we're just fundamentalists. We were speaking in tongues, like believing in the Holy Spirit, that kind of stuff. So for a really long time, like all throughout high school. And then like, you know, I was like, I'm so holy, I will court people. I won't even date people. I'll be sin-free and a virgin to a marriage. Well, we see how that turned out. Like, I came out like 3 years ago. I'm 33. So I was married for like 8 years. I never kissed my husband until like a week before we got married. I'm like, ew, gross. Oh, wow. I'm like, I guess it's supposed to be that way.
That's so crazy. Oh my God.
Anyways, yeah. So it was, I was like totally all in. I was like going to be a youth pastor. I would read my Bible every night. Like when my mom grounded me from something, she grounded me from reading the Bible or going to church because that's the only thing that mattered to me at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, no. Go. Miss, you know, go to hell. Anyway, so then after I graduated high school, I'm like, there's no time for college. The world's ending.
And so, right.
Yeah. And so I went to a Bible Institute for 3 years, and I didn't find out until afterwards it was unaccredited. So I have a fake bachelor's in theology.
Aww.
I didn't know what accredited meant. But yeah, so I went for 3 years to be a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for like 6 months. I'm like, oh my God, everything's a lie. So then I quit being religious.
Yeah, well, no, you don't skip over that.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That was just like,
it's a long story. Oh, yeah. So the Bible school, it was actually a cult. Yeah, sorry. I forgot to even mention that.
Yeah,
part.
That was my next question. It's like, what brought you to here to like being a logical person?
So,
because, I mean, you were deep in that hole.
You got out.
Well, sort of, no. okay, so the Bible school I went to is in Florida. So I went down there. This is like, my pastor bought me a car. I didn't have a car. He spent like $1,000 to buy me a car because he made me promise I would go down there and learn all the things and come back and be a youth pastor for him. And so I went there with some of my roommates or whatever. Get down there. This church was insane. I knew the moment I got there that I'd made a big mistake. But what can you do when you tell everybody, God called me to Florida?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like you can't really back out at that point. So
just tell him right. He had the wrong number, like, and come back home.
Everybody's hearing the audible voice of God. And you're kind of like, yeah, I heard the voice of God. But you're not committing to saying the audible voice of God. So you kind of be like, well, I got to stick with it. Anyway, so I get down there. This church is the kind where they not only spoke in tongues, but they believed like you get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Like, I'd never been drunk, so I didn't know what that was like. But everyone's like rolling around, like falling over, laughing hysterically. They call it the pastor is called the Holy Ghost bartender. So okay. It's so cheesy. But yeah, so like people would be like hysterics like for hours. Like church services were like 3 to 4 hours long. People worked up in this frenzy and hysterics. And there's this whole part of it that was all about money. And like from someone like growing up on welfare, food stamps, not having like a penny, like going someplace where people are like giving away thousands of dollars of cash and watches and stuff like that is like gifts because God told me to. Excuse me, that kind of thing. It was like, whoa, this really has to be God because no one does that with money. So, yeah, I was in it for like 3 years. Basically, I was like an indentured servant slash slave.
Damn.
I worked at a children's church. I was there I worked from like 5:30 to 3 at Dunkin' Donuts. And then I was there from like 3 to 1 o'clock in the morning every night. I was sleep deprived.
Wow.
It was awful. My sister actually worked on staff. She came down there with me and worked in a children's church, and like they wouldn't pay them, and it was just really bizarre. But then, so everybody like lived in abject poverty. Like you had to give at least 10% was the minimum of what you had to give of your tithes and offering. That was just tithes. Like they wanted you to give like 30-40% on top of that to the church, and like they would, you know, look over how much you gave, and if they thought you weren't giving enough, you'd be called in to meet with them, talk about your faith and stuff like that.
See, and that's messed up to begin with, too. Like, that's supposed to be something between you and God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like...
Well, their whole thing is, if you believe in God, then, you know, if you have faith, then God will bless you. It's called the prosperity gospel. They believe that your money's like a seed, and you sow into the ground, and then you'll reap a harvest.
Right.
So it's like after living, you know, for years on boxes of food from the food ministry because I couldn't even afford food, we finally were invited to go to the pastor's home. And he literally had I shouldn't have been surprised, but he literally had a 3-story mansion with like foyer and a helicopter pad. Like, I'm not exaggerating. A helicopter pad, like 40, 50 acres of forest. One of the pastors had Toyota Supra, this fancy little
That's a Fast and Furious car, yeah.
Yeah, and this is back in the day, like the fanciest Land Rover. Anyways, these people were con artists.
That's like all of those super churches, though. Like Joel Osteen.
Oh, my God.
Like all the, it's the same thing. Mm. Yeah, the super churches,
interesting little side note that you guys would probably appreciate. So this is in Tampa. The sister church to our church is also in Tampa, and the pastor's name is Paula White. She is President Trump's spiritual advisor, like in real life. So my former pastor, Rodney Howard Brown, has all these pictures of him hanging out with Trump. If there's a thing a few months ago where these pastors went and laid hands on Trump. Like there's pictures of them with their hands on him praying for him.
You saw those pictures, right? The laying on of hands of Trump in the Oval Office.
Like all these pastors like having their hands on him praying for him, stuff like that. And it weirded people out because they're like, if everyone's like, Muslims did that? Like, but anyways, that was my pastor, former pastor's hands. I recognized him because of his rings. I'm like, what? That looks like Rodney Howard Brown. And then it was. And so, yeah, it's like this huge thing with them being BFFs. And I've been like researching it a little bit because I'm wanting to do a story about it. So I have to watch some of his sermons occasionally. And there's this one thing about how he's prophesying that there's an assassination attempt against Trump. And he Congress people told him about it. And so they got to pray. Like Congress people have to pray to prevent Trump from being assassinated. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, if I was there, I totally would still be believing that stuff.
Yeah, what amazes me, like, because you get sucked in. I got obsessed with Waco recently. Mm. I watched the TV show and then watched a bunch of documentaries about it. And there are people that still believe that that guy's coming back. David Koresh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They still believe it's like, well, he prophesized it and he's going to come back just any day now. Oh, it's like they're still believing that. So it blows my mind how people just get indoctrinated.
Oh, yeah. And just, you should listen. There's a podcast, Heaven's Gate. My friend made it. It's so good. It's about, you know, the Heaven's Gate cult or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so
I don't know if I've heard of them.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So
they were like a real big one.
Yeah. They were like, it was the early 90s, I think. And it was like 30 people, 30 some people. Like when the Hellbop comet passed by, it came really close to the Earth.
I do remember
that. And like they like all
they were trying
killed
to get
themselves.
On a spaceship or something flying right behind it.
Yeah.
Killed they drank, themselves
like, to take them to the mothership.
But it was bizarre because they like a lot of the dudes castrated themselves and stuff like that. Like, I know. It was really bizarre.
Where they moved to get away from
I think they're in California.
No, I mean, didn't they move out of the country?
No, that's Jim Jones.
Oh, yeah. Mm-mm. Wrong one.
Mm. Yeah, the Jim Jones one is crazy.
Oh, my God.
That was, when was that? That was like late 70s, early 80s? Or
yeah, I think that's about.
Where'd they go?
Guyana.
Oh, okay.
That's a big time for cults.
Yeah.
With the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody was coming out of this, you know, I was listening to these things about recently. Everybody's coming out of this super straight lace, you know, the 50s, and they're all expanding their minds and everything. And it just like the cults fell right into philosophy that everybody was embracing.
When you don't have internet or anything like that to sort of look stuff up for yourself. I mean, there's a reason Scientology is like, don't you get on the internet or watch TV?
Yeah.
Like, don't you do it.
Yeah. And there's even one of the stories on that show, that Leah Remini show. Have you guys watched that show?
I've seen some of it. Going Clear is incredible documentary.
Going Clear is good.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Yeah, there's one on the show where it's this guy and he got out and he's like, yeah, all it took, I was looking up something about Scientology and I just did a Google search and all these articles popped up and it was like, oh my God, I had no idea all this shit was going on. And that's all it took was just like, and he was doing it innocently enough, like trying to look up something about Scientology to show his friend. Cause he's
it was, that was David Miscavige's dad.
Oh,
Ron Miscavige. It was his dad. They had given him a Kindle and the IT guys.
That's right.
Like they just happened to not be like, hey, let's not double check this Kindle we're giving the Pope of Scientology's dad and make sure it doesn't have internet on it. And it did. And he just got on the internet and like a quick, he was like, he said he genuinely believed that Scientology's like, oh yeah, we're out here saving the world. I'm going to Google this and see what all this good shit we're doing is. And he Googled it and then immediately just, oh shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, whoa. And then it was like, I'm done.
Wow. That's his dad. I need to watch that.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
That's in season one somewhere.
He also, he's done some podcasts where he's interviewed and he talks about, he's like, yeah, I don't talk to any of my family. Me, him and his wife, I can't remember his wife's name, but they had a whole escape plan. Where they had planned for months. It's like, let's get out of this.
Wow.
Like, and everybody in that show that talks about leaving, they plan it for months because if they get any word, they'll lock you down.
Yeah, they put them in basically like a prison and stuff. And but people want to stay. It's insane the mind control and stuff they have on it. But yeah, like people in the church I was in, when you leave, like you lose your friends. Like it was a church, but then they had the school, you know, and in the church. But like you lose your friends, like they're told don't have anything to do with people who are outside of the church because they'll just try to turn you and make you backslide and that kind of stuff. So it was really frowned upon. Oh, and I remember getting in trouble for reading the newspaper. Like they weren't like total lockdown or whatever, but I like news. I've always liked reading the news and figuring out what's happening in the world. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you're too, that's too worldly. You know, you need to be thinking about
too
heaven
worldly.
And stuff and not being so involved in what's happening in the world.
So was it always like kind of the struggle between wanting to know and reading stuff that was happening in the world versus
the world
you were involved in?
I had a lot of self-hate and stuff. So I was like, oh, God, I messed up again. No. I mean, they made us burn our Harry Potter books and like.
Oh, they were one of those.
Yeah. And it wasn't. But the thing is, like, I was all for it. I say they made us, but
they
like
did.
I was
they
like,
did.
You were so the one rounding up the Sorcerer's Stone.
I was
so
like, Goebbels,
you
right?
You
like,
actually yeah. burned Harry Potter.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, just between me and heaven.
Wow.
Just between me and heaven.
I loved Harry Potter. Honestly, that was probably one of the things that upset me the most.
Really?
Yeah. And also I had to burn my Evanescence CD. I'm like, they're not bad. Why am I having to burn this?
Yeah, I thought Evanescence was a Christian band.
Not Christian enough, apparently. They weren't explicitly like, oh, God, I love you. Like, so, yeah.
Jeez.
Wow, that's insane. Yeah, my experience wasn't nearly that, but I had one of my youth people, I think his name was Charlie. I'm not going to give his last name. I'm not going to call him out, but he he loved sci-fi, and he loved Harry Potter. He loved Star Wars, all this. But he would come in, and he's like, you know, I feel bad, and I know it's a sin to be into this, but I can't help it. It's my sin. And he was so serious about it.
It's sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Ever since I've been younger, I remember I've always been made to go to church, and my dad never went. Now he goes and tries to get me to go. I'm like, eh. But when I was younger, me and my mom and my brother jumped around to a lot of churches. We went to Baptist, Methodist. We landed on Methodist, which is pretty chill.
I forget. Are you from this area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up here. Well, right outside of here. Okay. Close to Whittle.
Whittle.
Mm-hmm. And, so we bounced around to a lot of churches out that way, and I saw some crazy shit at different ones of those churches.
Any snakes?
I never went to the snake handling church, but I know where the snake handling church is.
Oh, there's nice. Still one here?
Yeah, there's one out there.
Oh, we should
check
that out. Yeah,
it's on a highway. I think it's Highway 28 out there. It's got a big blue roof, white building. Yeah, real small church.
I want to go check out the snake handling church.
It's that logic of that, I don't even get. Like,
I don't know. But
if it bites me, God will save me. And like, no, he's not going
to. I'm down to watch.
Like, that's just not going to happen.
In the name of the Lord. I grew up Unitarian Universalist.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Thanks.
If I was to go to a church, I would go there.
I've got a good audience. It seems I'm not surprised that you guys know what that is.
I grew up Episcopalian.
Okay.
Yeah. Or, you know, Wiscopalian.
Wiscopalian. Yeah. My mom is the director of religious education, at the Unitarian Church in D.C.
Oh, wow.
Like the big one. All Souls is what it's called.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
My sister, she's atheist, but like her kids like really want to go to church, even though they're not religious. So she goes to Unitarian Church in Knoxville, and it's been really good for them. They have like classes. It's basically like a social justice club. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish there was a church for non-religious folk, because like I reached a point when I was about 20 where I was like, wait a minute. Like, these hopes and prayers don't do shit, you know? And I'm just like kind of agnostic, kind of atheist. I don't know. It was a bunch of bullshit when I was a kid, where it was like, I remember my parents sent me to vacation Bible school during the summer. Like, it was basically daycare. And we went to this one at this crazy or maybe it was a Church of God. I don't remember, but they sequestered all the kids. I was like 8 or 9. They were like, okay, which of y'all are saved? And I didn't know what that meant. And so some kids raised their hands. All the rest had to stay in there. They sequestered all the not saved kids. Mm. And then they sat us down, talked to us about how we needed to be. Yeah, this would have been you.
Yeah.
The God squad here.
She'd have been guarding the door.
And, yeah.
I got a story.
Literally.
He's locking the door. And so they talked to us about how we were all going to rot in hell. To kids, like 8-year-olds, telling us we were going to rot and burn in hell if we didn't get saved. Tried to tell us what being saved was. And then they had somebody dressed up as Satan come in there and scare the shit out of us. And
then Jackie, do you want to talk about
when he's done with his scarring?
It was just there were various things like that that I experienced, and it was just as I was younger. I mean, I recognized when I was younger, sitting there looking at this, and I was like, "All right, this is horseshit." Like, the general idea is don't be a dick. Got it. But this is horseshit. But you've got no power when you're that age to be like, I don't want to go. You know, mm-hmm. They're like, no, you're going to go and you're going to learn ethics and morals and Jesus. And it just, I don't know, something in me even then was like, eh. And then I just kind of stuck with it because I didn't have anything else to believe. And then eventually came across a nifty website called whydoesn'tgodhealamputees.com.
Yes.
I want to look at that right now.
Opened my mind with just real sound logic.
How did you come across that website?
My girlfriend's dad at the time showed it to me.
Wow. Huh.
And
I guess he had an agenda.
That's a big thing.
Maybe.
No, I knew about that website too. Yeah, no. God never. Interesting. God
just, it's never got these amputees. YouTube videos that it's not really anti-religious. It just uses sound logic to be like, okay, it says this in the Bible. Now, if you go do this, it doesn't fucking work. Like, right. I mean, I'm really simplifying it, but that's essentially what it does. And the thing that got me was, why doesn't God heal amputees? And it was like, all through the Bible, boys turning water to wine. He's healing lepers, making the blind see. Fuckers walking on water, doing all this crazy stuff. Superhero, OG superhero. But there is never in miracle or in science history of even a finger growing back.
No. We can't regenerate.
And as weird as that is, that's the thing that got my mind ticking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's fucking right. That's something else. I was like, arms don't grow back. Yeah. You can walk on water, but arms don't grow back. Huh. And that just got my mind churning just enough to where I was like, and then they had another video about prayer. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. God's not real. So here I am. And I've gotten more into science because of it. I feel I'm smarter because of it, because you can't just be like, well, God's got a plan. Mm-hmm. I know we just chopped both my legs off in a car accident, but he's got a plan.
It's not to regrow my legs, though, because I know he can't.
He had a reason for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for our religious listeners, we don't mean to offend you. It's just... Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm with Jackie on this one. I'll give you the...
No, it's just... It's like, no. I don't mind Elvis. I just hate his fan club.
Unless it's Jackie's granny. We love Jackie's granny.
She's a big Elvis fan. Yeah.
But, no, it's not all the people in all the religions.
Some of what we're saying is what it's like to live in the South mm-hmm. as an atheist, as I am as well, mm-hmm. you know, and how you relate to people around you and how it feels to be sort of flooded by this sort of Christian ideology that's all around you. I don't know how you feel, but...
Yeah, my aunt recently died a couple weeks back. Aww. And my entire family is Christian. And my parents don't know that I'm not religious. Like, I finally mustered it up to tell them one year. I was like, all right, I need to tell them. And no joke, the day of, my dad gave me a Bible with my name on it.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. Definitely can't tell them today.
Oh, man.
So, and then I've just not done it because I feel like it would cause such a rift because they're so religious. And it's just, that's a pain in the ass to deal with. But then I was at my aunt's funeral and everyone there saying like, well, you know, she's up in heaven.
And that's just not how we're processing things.
Yeah. And I'm pretty okay with death. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sad, but I'm more sad for other people.
Right.
But I'm just like, well, that sucks. But it's like, we're celebrating the life. It's like, they're not with us anymore. That sucks. But they've gone to another dimension or wherever they've gone. I don't know. Maybe they are in heaven. I don't know. That could happen. Also, she could be on an alien spaceship. I don't know. I don't know. And that's all I can say is like, I just don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Like,
and coming out of as atheist here is so hard. I came out as gay before I came out as atheist at work.
Really?
Yeah.
And I work at the Y.
Statistics
yeah.
people. I read these statistics that people think atheists are like are scarier than rapists and murderers and stuff like that. Like 60% would rather kid like be with a rapist.
Well, because if you say someone is atheist, you equate as being godless.
And they have no moral compass. Morals,
no ethics, nothing. They are just murdering, raping,
whatever
they
want to do. They don't know the difference between right and wrong.
Yes.
It's like being an anarchist, which they're not all bad either. Yeah. So I don't know. But
when what gets me is if the only reason you're a good person is because you're afraid you're going to spend an eternity in fire.
You're a bad person.
You're a shitty person to begin with. Like, if the only thing keeping you from being shitty is a shittier thing, you're shitty.
It's like, oh, wait, that's not real. True. It's going to be like the purge every day now.
Yeah. Like, I was, that shit, God damn it.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, I'm just sitting here.
I'm just like fired. I'm like, God damn it. God
damn shit. You should have known this was going to happen if we're going to be talking about religion and stuff.
Well, it's just, I remember too, my parents also, when we would just go to the nice little Methodist church we had, they would always feed us, but there were a couple dickheads there. And I was a little kid. I hit puberty late, like 15 or so. And so I was picked on, and there was this fucker there that picked up they were building a gymnasium on the church. And he picked up like a piece of conduit pipe and just spear chucked it into my spine across the parking lot and would just do stupid shit like that. Jesus. And it's like,
that's awful.
And then my parents wonder why I didn't want to go to church, you know?
Damn.
And it's like,
was he the pastor's kid? Because they're the worst.
No, but he was, was like, his mom was like one of the deacons or something.
So you got cut off with your story of, I don't know, you dressing up as Satan for a lock-in, presumably.
Well, there were several lock-ins. Okay. Yeah. And hell houses. I don't know if you know do you know what those are?
No.
It sounds like what you had
no
to go
idea.
Through.
Yeah, it sounds like just my church experience.
It's like around Halloween, churches have an alternative to trick-or-treating, and they get people to come in to this building, and they have like separate scenes happening in each building. So it's like a haunted house, but it's a hell house. So you'll have one scene where someone's overdosing on drugs, another one where people are gay and they get AIDS, and another one where it's like, the one my friend was in, there was like a card catalog, and every single thing she'd ever done in her life was there, and she had to read these horrible things she had done
in a card catalog.
Yeah.
It's
this
hell.
Is before the high-speed internet.
It's hell. So there's card catalogs
card
all over
catalogs.
The place.
Oh.
I could see that actually, card catalogs in hell.
All over.
There's no internet in hell.
The Dewey Decimal System.
No, there's no Dewey Decimal System.
There's no system. It's just chaos.
Yeah.
Hell is card catalogs being
crazy.
Out of order.
Yeah, exactly. They're just aren't in there. But yeah, so I participated in several of those. But I was the person who was like at the end telling people how to get saved kind of thing. Well, the thing that I did that one of the things I did I'm most ashamed of, it's really hard to count, like kicking kids out of the gay club or the Christian club for being gay. Like that one's a hard one. There's several things, but one of them is it was my turn to teach at youth group. I was super excited about it. I'm like, I got to do way better than everybody else because I'm going to be a professional youth pastor. So I've got to show that I'm not just in this for laughs. And so I had everyone go into the basement and have like a candlelit service, right? And so they're like, all the youths are in there, you know, reading, you know, I'm talking about how in China, like using examples, these places, it's illegal to be Christian, so you gotta kind of be covert about it and do it underground. That's why we're having a candlelight service. And then all of a sudden, boom! The door got kicked open. And I had prearranged this, of course. The door got kicked open, and this guy in like all black ski mask, he was a Marine, just came back.
Like literally?
Yeah. Came in there. It was like
he was still amped up.
Yes, he was very amped up. And this other girl, she had ski mask and stuff too. She was nuts. And they came in there with like guns. Like they weren't loaded, but you know, they were like toting guns and making all this noise and stuff like that. And they're like, I can't remember how it staged it, but somehow, you know, the Antichrist had come or whatever, and like people were being hauled off that were Christians and stuff. And so we had to practice this a few times, but they like took me by my hair and like drug me out of the room, like screaming and kicking and all that stuff. And then he took me to the other room and made it sound like they were shooting me. And so
how did they make it sound like they were
like they were banging something? I don't know. So then they go back in there and the kids are like hysterical.
How old were the kids?
Well, teenagers. Some of them were younger. Some of them were like 11, 12. But most of them were like, you know, up to 15, 16. I was like 17, I think. But so I was a role model. So they like killed me in the other room. And like, so I think it's because it's dark. They blow the candles. I was able to sneak back in, like crawl back in and see what was happening. But so they were like, you know, whoever's a Christian, come with us. And so they made people take a stand. They had to be God. Like, you know, everybody else can stay here. And one of my friends, everyone like, you know, went like, yeah, okay, I'm saved up. But one girl. And so then afterwards, when it all like the lights, I'm like, ha ha, I'm still here. This is all.
Ta-da!
Jazz hands. It's all a test to your faith.
Oh my God.
Anyways, they were hysterical. Move. They were hysterical. I'm like, ooh, maybe it went a little overboard.
I think you underestimated your effect on people.
You know, I love theatrics, but I was like, I was actually really good at it. I got to say, I was actually pretty good at laying on the guilt and soul winning.
Can you talk about soul winning and Ebor?
Yeah. Well, anyways, it worked. This one girl was scarred for a really long time. I've mentioned it on Facebook lately, and this girl's like, oh my God, that bothered me so much. So there's probably, not even the first thing like that I did. So there's probably several people
so
who
you've
have
heard from people on Facebook who have said that they were scarred by that.
Yeah, I've apologized.
It sounds
a
scarring.
Lot. That's why
it
I talk
sounds,
about it on Facebook a lot, because there's a lot of people who I was friends with. And I kind of feel like I'm paying my penance. Like with what happened with my job and stuff, the reason I went up there, it was like in part because I was like so closeted and so terrible to gay people. And I feel like I'm kind of paying my penance for like trying to fix things a little bit. What'd you ask me about?
Oh, Ybor City.
Oh, God.
What is Ybor City?
Okay, Ybor City is this really cool place in Tampa. It's like where they make cigars and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really hip, happening place.
City.
Well, part of the thing with the college, quotation marks, I was involved with is they were all in this soul winning. So you would like try to get somebody saved, but they turned it into an art form. They were trying to have like a million souls saved. Now they're up to like 100 million or something. They say they've gotten like 50 million. Mm-hmm. So the way they would do it is they'd have like literally a little script, a piece of paper, like bookmark size, that would have like this script for, you know, how you get someone saved. And you go up.
I volunteer.
I don't remember that well. I've blocked it out. But basically, I'd be like, has anyone ever told you that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life?
No.
Oh, well, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but for whosoever, whatever, shall call upon his name shall be saved. And you're a whosoever, right? Of course you are. I swear to God. Of course you are. Well, and then you get them to pray, you know, after you, that they're saved, they're born again, blah, blah, blah. Like, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're Italian. Here, write your name down for me so I can put it in my account. Anyways, we had a quota that we had to meet for Bible school. There's a class literally called Soul Winning. I mean, they get at least 100 people saved a semester, and it would change all the time.
Jeez.
Because people would, like, get on buses and, like, Greyhound buses and take over the intercoms, like, hey, pray this with me. Raise your hand if you prayed it. Like, go to football games, that kind of stuff. For me, I am like, I have extreme social anxiety. And so it was like hard for me to even approach anyone and do that. Like, I remember like sitting in a Walmart crying around Christmas because it's super cold. And they assigned you places to go. They mm-hmm. Here's a map. You go here, you go here, you go here. And you have people with you to watch and make sure you're doing it. And it was like so cold, and I was crying. And I called my mom, like, just say this prayer with me. You don't have to mean it, but just say it. So I can count you. I'm going to fail out of Bible school. Anyway, so
I would have said it with you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Anyway, so one of the more traumatic things for me, I was like super repressed, as you can imagine. And so, like, they sent me to Ybor City, which is Guavaween, which is basically like Mardi Gras in Tampa. So people had, like, beads and, like, all these.
It was Halloween, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was
Halloween.
There during Halloween. It's crazy.
Yeah. So people had, I mean, now I'd be like, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing ever. Yes, yeah. Please.
Fun.
But back then it was like, because like all these people were bare chested ladies, like painted and things like that. And I was like absolutely horrified. I'd never seen IRL a nude person. There wasn't a family member. And so I was just like absolutely frozen and horrified. And I didn't know what to do. And so I go up to someone who's drunk on the ground. Has anyone ever told you that God loved you? Oh, like, you know, it just didn't work. It just, it wasn't.
Hey, I know your tits are out right now, but has anyone ever told you?
Tough crowd, tough crowd.
If you could just sit down the margarita for a minute.
Oh, when you're done puking.
I realized later that all the people that were raking in crazy numbers, like thousands of souls a month, they were lying. I was so naive. I didn't even like, there's no way they could be lying. But no, they were lying.
They were gaming definitely the system.
Yeah.
They'd say it like themselves in their head.
And then like yeah, fall from grace and then have to be saved again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because each time they were like padding their numbers and then they'd have to be saved for padding their numbers. Mm-hmm. So they'd have to say the thing again.
Mm-hmm. One of the more horrifying things, like whenever there's a natural disaster, they would send people out. Like when Haiti happened, they were getting a boat and sending people out there, like the earthquakes and stuff. And like I really, it's kind of like the Sea Org in Scientology is what it reminded me of. I wanted to be on it so bad. It was like my dream. I was a wannabe Sea Org person, but I wasn't anointed enough. Like I didn't speak in tongues. And so, you know, because it's bullshit. By the time I didn't realize that, I was like, I'm not good enough. Everyone else can. Yeah.
What is speaking in tongues? Because just like, apparently my great grandfather could do it.
Oh. Mm.
But is it bullshit? Or is it just like
you just did it? My God, that was incredible!
Yes.
So, like, I mean,
I felt him come inside me.
You know, there's a lot of that coming and going. It's filling you with his presence.
Yeah,
touching you.
Filled me up.
Basically, you know, they say it's the word, like God speaking through you, and there's supposed to be an interpreter there to interpret it, but like people would say the same sentence and then you'd have somebody like over and over the same sentence, and you have somebody like saying this big long thing or whatever, and then most of the time in my churches they wouldn't even interpret it. And like we had these like whole nights, we stayed up all night long and prayed in tongues for President Bush, and like, you know, we went campaigning for him, things like that.
So you just have like a prayer list and just like,
And they would hand the microphone off to different people to pray in tongues. So I'd always be like literally hiding behind the soundboard, like crouched down, pretending to be deep in prayer, but trying not to fall asleep. Because it was hours and you're just sitting there for hours with gibberish. Just like, oh, I want to go home. It was awful. But yeah, I got in trouble because I got called to the office because I was like a senior and I wasn't, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit or whatever. And it was a problem. I got called into several meetings. And finally, this group of people, and they laid hands on me several times. But like, basically, I was like, this group of like 20 people very forcefully like, no, open your mouth. No, open your mouth. No, open your mouth. Because I was like, no, God's supposed to open your mouth and do all that. You're just supposed to be there. It's supposed to be involuntary. But finally, I'm like, oh, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, praise your Lord. Oh, my God, she's got the Holy Spirit. It's like, God damn it, everything's a lie. Or actually, it's like, oh, no, I'm faking it. And everyone's going to know because they're all doing it for real.
But you did figure out that they were faking it, right?
Well, yeah, now I know.
But I mean, when did you figure that out?
Oh,
Did you leave because you felt like you weren't good enough, or did you leave because you realized everybody was faking it?
Well, I left because my grandmother died, and instead of it, me feeling better that she's in a better place, I was like, no, this is bullshit. Like, she had a hard death, and, like, people who are terrible are still alive. Like, this isn't okay. Like, how am I supposed to? I wasn't finding any peace in it at all. So I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And, yeah. And then I found out my pastor was a con artist, that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Bitch.
Mm-hmm. But CNN came while I was there and did a Anderson Cooper. They did a news piece about the church while I was there. And I have a copy of it. I'll send you guys.
Hell yeah.
So it's pretty horrifying.
That's
it's really horrifying. I can show you after this.
Yeah. Which Which branch of Christianity was it? Did you say?
They call it non-denominational.
Ah.
Yeah.
Don't they all?
Yeah,
well,
right.
Because it's the prosperity gospel.
Yeah,
so,
prosperity gospel.
Right, they want to be able to reach across whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like, we're not religious. This isn't religion. We don't bring, we bring happiness. That's why everyone laughs in the spirit. Religions shouldn't, you know, Jesus isn't sad, religion's sad. We're not religion, that kind of thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like Orwellian, doublespeak kind of thing.
Hmm.
So you mentioned that you wrote a book?
Yeah. Well, it's like 57 chapters, but it's on the internet. It's
That's
a blog.
That's quite the book.
Yeah, I did it a few years ago, and it's kind of like awful. It's basically like the first draft of a thing, so I'm going back and trying to fix it. I'm actually probably going to take it down altogether and turn it into like an audio project, like a 10-part audio series, something with actual interview with family members and stuff.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Do you want to say what it's called?
Oh, it's called I Am My Own Cousin, because I am. So,
can you explain that, please?
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, it's spoiler alert, but yeah, my mom and dad. Okay, so my mom and dad had 6 kids, and they got divorced, and then my mom married my dad's brother. So,
who also had
6 kids.
6 kids.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We're a big family.
Yeah.
So your cousins became Whoa. Your brothers and sisters.
And my mom is my aunt, and I am my own cousin.
That's pretty awesome, though. And
that's
it's
really
not really incestuous.
Mm-mm.
It's just kind of...
Not by blood.
Yeah, it's just kind of in the same pool.
They did get pregnant once, and it didn't work out, and we're all kind of like, whew. Yeah. Mom gets so mad when I say that, but I'm like, come on. Come on. Anyway.
Yeah, 13 is an unlucky number.
He could have come out, like, really strong. Or, I don't know.
But, like, just knowing that it's, like, my... I don't know. That's Mm-mm. crossed some blood right there. That
I think there's a little in my family, like way back when, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something about some cousins, like some first, second cousins.
My eyes are
together.
A little close together.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say that, but you know, mm-hmm. they are.
Well, you guys know, since everyone came from Adam and Eve, obviously,
yeah.
mm-hmm. that everyone is really related.
We're all each other's sister cousins.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a good
is
one.
It's uncanny.
I do want to talk a little about the beer because we've been drinking it.
Yeah, we need to.
It's been
not to disregard the story because that was super.
Yeah, no,
vastly
I go
interesting.
Back to more of that. But yeah,
this
I was
chicken scratch.
I was kind of disappointed with this little chicken, this little Harpeth chicken
Have I
scratch.
Had that?
Have you had it?
I don't know. Have you had it?
I think we passed some of these around.
I don't remember drinking it. Is that
yeah?
Bad?
This one's it's kind. It's
I remember.
We've got
I
a bunch of IPAs and stuff, so. An American Pilsner kind of gets lost.
Mm.
Sort of. There's more over here.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at that.
But yeah, it's just kind of meh.
It's, oh, I haven't, I don't remember drinking
Harpeth.
You might
it's
not
It's sweet.
Have. Yeah.
Hmm. Yes, yeah, and lighter. Watery.
Yeah, watery. It's kind of hazy and lighter colored, but it's just, yeah, with the good schist and this clown shoes and what I'm about to open right here, it's just not. Holding up.
I mean, like, I don't know how to like do beer speak, but it doesn't seem to have much body. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
It's a skinny bitch.
Yeah, it's a skinny bitch. It is.
No
There's not
curves.
Much. It's pretty light. Wait, let me see. Pour a little more on this. It's really light. And you can hold it up to the light. And yeah, it's pretty clear. It's a little hazy.
Uh-huh.
It's not perfectly clear. It is really light yellow. It is, yeah, it's very, very...
Like you've hydrated well.
Yeah, like you've hydrated pretty damn well.
Not what my pee looks like in the morning.
If by not you mean exactly what, then yeah. Kind of. It is a little, like, urine-lucky. But yeah, no, it's just kind of, it's a Pilsner. I guess the American part in the name makes it a little stronger. Is usually what it does. Like the same thing with the American pale ale, I think is what the good schist is. They usually like uses more of everything, like more hops, more malt forward flavor, more whatever it is.
Oh, the is American that what the
style.
Difference is?
Yeah, it's going to be like a stronger, more in your face
style,
the American. But this rye IPA I'm about to pour, this is probably going to be the darkest. Yep.
Is that like a red IPA? Is that what people are calling a red IPA or no?
Not necessarily. It's made with rye wheat, so I think it is. I don't have an ingredient list, but that's what the ones that I've made are. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
yeah, it's going to use the same stuff as IPA, except it's going to use rye wheat instead. So this is also pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Interesting. The darkest one, like a burnt orange.
I like the color.
Yeah. And
super malty. Maltier than you'd expect for a IPA.
Interesting.
It looks malty. It does smell malty.
That American Pilsner chicken scratch gave me the burps. Like, I cannot stop after drinking that. Hmm. So, clearly. Yeah.
You were burping. I kept thinking you were looking over here, like signaling me to like stop talking or something.
No, so, I was just trying to lean over and not burp into the microphone.
Is the cans infinitely recyclable thing like a thing? Because I've noticed that on a bunch of cans, and I haven't noticed it before, but recently I've been seeing it. It's the recycling sign, and it says cans infinitely recyclable.
I guess you can just keep making cans out of cans.
I guess so.
And what bridge is that?
Oh, it's Nashville. It's made in Nashville, so it's got the Batman building.
Mm. Oh, the Batman.
Cool.
Building. Yeah.
I always forget that Turtle Anarchy is in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. We're going to Nashville to see a podcast.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which one are you going to go see?
Snap Judgment's doing a tour.
Snap Judgment.
Really excited. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I always forget they're in Nashville.
What kind of podcast is that?
It's like a narrative storytelling, kind of like This American Life.
One of the most disturbing stories I've ever heard out loud was on Snap Judgment. This guy told a story about a bear, and I don't want to say anything else.
Wendell's got a phobia of bears, though, so.
I do have a phobia of bears.
A specific bear? Not a specific bear, but like a type of bear.
Specific type of bear.
My phobia is about any bear.
Hmm.
Particularly one that is attacking me.
Right, yeah, right.
Fozzie Bear.
Jackie.
Have you seen that video online of the guy mountain biking and he's got a GoPro on and he looks back and there's just a grizzly.
Oh
just
my God. Boom, 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 oh my God.
Just chasing him down. And he just starts pedaling. Like.
No, I can't watch that.
It's terrifying.
No.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Would you say it's unbearable?
It's unbearable, I would say. Yeah.
Oh God, I'm
just
dying.
Just barely. No more bear puns. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm full of grizzly bear puns. No.
Are you proud of that one?
No.
Are you proud of yourself for that one?
No. I love puns and I hate all of those.
Yeah. Is it because they're about bears?
Yes.
Okay. I'll make different puns next time.
Okay.
What's an animal you like? I'll try and make that type of animal puns.
Cats. We like cats.
Well, that's too. Everybody likes cats.
Cats, dogs, not everybody. Horses.
The only okay, cool okay. People.
Yeah.
Why did the fly cats. Fly?
Why?
Why?
The spider spider.
I see what you did there. No, I got you one here. This is one I heard recently.
That one always
is. So Leo DiCaprio, George Clooney, Matthew McConaughey are like, we're going to make a movie. George Clooney's like, I'll direct. Leo DiCaprio's like, well, I'll act. Matthew McConaughey, all right.
That's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
That's good. That's one for our times.
Yeah, I love Matthew McConaughey. We should probably actually wrap this up though. Did we at least get through all the beers? We've hit our time.
We did the clown shoes. I gave the clown shoes a 6 out of our worthless rating system.
What's the range?
I like one this one. 10. The clown shoes. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah, I'm just going to bump it up to a 6.5.
Yeah, it's a weird, unambiguous system of 10 going on 0.5s, yeah. But it's kind of just about feeling.
Yeah, about feeling. Yeah. I liked it the best, but, well, the Good Schist is pretty good. That one came out of left field. I wasn't ready for it. I'm going to give the Good Schist a 7, and the Turtle Anarchy, I'm going to go with a 5, and the Little Harpeth, I'm going to give it a 4. I wasn't a fan of a lot of these, but we had a good run for a while of really... really delicious beers that were like 8s and 9s.
I don't know. I would give this one an 8.
It's pretty
good.
I'll
the space cake.
Yeah, the space cake. I liked it. Pretty good.
There's another one over there we can open.
Yeah, I have to check it out.
I liked the space cake from Clown Shoes. Other than that, yeah, the chicken scratch was subpar. Turtle Anarchy, but chicken scratch, was it expired? It occasionally, there's some beer drama going on here in town, guys.
Oh, really?
Total drama.
Oh, really?
Back in October, people listening to this are tired of hearing about it because we complain. There's something to complain about every week. Cherokee Distribution bought out Carter Distribution. Mm-hmm. And Carter's not the only beer distributor in town, but they're a huge chunk of it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they had a 50-year business at least. Mm-hmm. And they got bought out by Cherokee. So now Cherokee, like beers that are brewed here in town, for example, like say they get beers from Chattanooga Brewing Company. They pick up those beers in their trucks, ship them up to Knoxville, and then ship them back down here to put in stores. They're doing shit like that, which they do it because they've got an automated facility. So it sort of makes sense logistically, I guess. But come on, like you took some jobs out of Chattanooga, first of all, and then it just that makes no fucking sense to me at all. And then we keep finding like we got some beers for next week. Never seen them in this market before. And we already know they're expired.
It says like best by October 2017.
Goodness.
We had a beer the other night that was 4 years old.
What?
This didn't happen with Carter.
No.
Whoa.
And I, from what I understand there, you know, just to be fair here, Carter had a bunch of stuff just sitting in their warehouse.
So they're just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah. So, but hey, how about instead of trying to just make a quick buck on people not checking dates, how about you actually just get rid of the beer? Ballast Point sends people around. Quality control people, and they will just pour it down the drain.
Yeah.
If it's a month past date.
Right.
So it's like, we're getting beers that we've never seen before and they're already out of date. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So every week we gripe about something to do with that. So
you should do an investigative series on it.
Yeah.
I think the end of that investigation, though, is just going to lead to like a shitty company that's just not very organized. And I think we've already got that answer
solved. We just sat here and figured it out. It's the best kind of investigations.
Armchair investigation. The lazy kind. Where we don't have to do any work.
Jinky.
Speculative investigation.
There you go, this new genre.
Anyone
we
can
should,
do it.
We should pioneer the art of speculative investigation, Tanya.
No fact checkers allowed.
That's right. Not in this house. On that note, are we still drinking these beers? Is that what's going on?
What did you guys think? Yeah, what did you guys think? What was your favorite?
This one's
this
better.
One, the Turtle Anarchy.
This
another
one's
way
number
to
two.
Ride.
I'd say the turtle one's number two. The cake one's number one. Wasn't a big fan of the chicken one. The schist one's aight.
I like the schist because the good schist because it's drinkable and tasty. Mm-hmm. The cake double IPA, space cake double IPA, was really good, but I would only be able to drink one because it made me so thirsty, which is weird. Mm. But this green thing.
The rye IPA.
The rye
another
IPA.
Way to rye.
I would drink more than one of those and be happy.
Nice.
And yeah, enjoy it. Mm. That's not on your rating system at all.
No, but that's a solid review.
Yeah, that's a good review. Yeah. More than a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, nicely done.
Well, on that note, we've hit our time. We've hit our time, but before we go, I want to remind you guys, get down to Riverside Wine and Spirits this Friday 4 to 6 for the Growler promo. Saturday 2 to 4 for their wine promo. They've usually got cheese. And ask about the Brew Chat 6-pack. You can drink along with us when you're listening to the show. We post the Brew Chat 6-pack on our Instagram and whatnot. Go check that out. Get the Brew Chat 6-pack.
Check your dates.
Yeah, check your dates. Make sure you're getting the right episode. But yeah.
Check the dates on the beer.
Yeah, and the dates on the beer. Yeah, do that. Check the dates on the beer because Cherokee needs to get their shit together. And then I need to also remind you guys about Brew Skies on April 16th from 5 to 9 for general admission, 4 to 9 for early entry. And that's going to be at the Chattanooga Choo Choo. They're going to have tacos and sliders and lots of homebrews. All of our homebrews here are delicious. We've got some real talent in town. Mm-hmm. And then Big River on this Thursday when this episode comes out, they are debuting their Fire Chief Red. And Nick Lutzko is going to be there playing some music from 5:30 to 7:30. And 25 cents from each of those beers purchased is going to go towards the Forgotten Child Fund. Cool. And that's this Thursday, 5:30 to 7:30, Fire Chief Red with Nick Lutzko. And I think all that that's all I've got to say. Do you guys have anything to plug before we head out here?
No.
All right.
That was great. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And keep on drinking, guys. This has been episode 129 of the Brew Chat Podcast.